This is CBS, Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. Starliner, there are positive events. Bob, what is Starliner? And please, the positive events as fast as possible.
Well, it hasn't been very fast, but we have good news at least. Starliner is Boeing's attempt to build a manned capsule that could take astronauts to and from ISS for NASA and for others, too. They could sell it, passenger flights, commercial flights to others. And it's been really far behind schedule. They completed its first unmanned demo mission to ISS a few weeks ago. Well, this week, NASA, in a press conference, and this was the post-flight press conference of that mission, it basically blessed Starliner as ready for manned flights. There were some issues on the demo flight having to do with thrusters, but NASA made it very clear that there's enough redundancy on the craft that even with those problems, they are willing to let Starliner attempt on its next flight to bring astronauts to space. So they won't have to do another demo flight. They've allowed Boeing to go to a manned flight next. It will be a demo flight still. It won't be operational. But they will fly astronauts on Starliner to go up and down to ISS to prove its to set it up for becoming an operational spacecraft. They hope to do this by the end of the year, but because of those thruster issues that they want to review, it could slip into early 23, that first flight. Which brings us, John, directly, let me go directly to our second story, which is that SpaceX has now won additional contracts from NASA for 5 additional manned missions to ISS. And this contract is in addition to a February contract that NASA awarded SpaceX for 3 Dragon flights. And basically what's going on here is that though NASA desperately does want to have 2 different companies working, both Dragon and Starliner, which they can alternate the two and have redundancy and backup and competition as well, Starliner is not ready, and NASA has to make sure it has the flights going up and down to ISS through the rest of this decade. And so they've purchased another those additional 5 flights from SpaceX. So SpaceX is getting the business that Boeing might have gotten had Starliner been flying. Now, once Starliner is operational, Boeing will sign it, will then begin to fly Starliner missions in between the SpaceX missions. They'll alternate, and these SpaceX missions will get stretched out. But it's very clear here that some of the flights that Boeing would have gotten are now going into SpaceX's hands, and Boeing has lost a lot of money by not getting Starliner ready when it should have.
Boeing is preparing for the future, however. This is also positive. They're asking for flight suits. Are these going to be designer flight suits like SpaceX's?
Yes, I think so. So Boeing has picked a company, it's called ILC Dover, to build the flight suits that would be worn by astronauts and passengers in Starliner when it does its orbital flights. And this is, yes, comparable to SpaceX's. These suits would belong to Boeing. They'd be flown on Boeing flights, and there's no reason why Boeing can't go for a fancy look. Boeing's look so far with Starliner has been more the old-style industrial look, and they might go with that. And that's the style that Dover has done already for NASA in its flight suits for the shuttle as well as its ISS spacesuits. It is partnered to build those for NASA. In a sense, it's interesting Boeing picking this company because if this company is one of the companies that builds the spacesuits for NASA on ISS, it hasn't done that great a job. The suits they have right now have no, they're not doing any optional spacewalks on ISS because those suits keep filling with water in the helmet. And they can't, and for more than almost a decade now, they haven't been able to figure out the problem. But Boeing has chosen a company to build the flight suits, and we'll eventually see something, I hope, snazzy coming from Dover for Boeing.
More spacesuits. NASA awards Axiom and Collins. That sounds like a haberdasher.
Well, this is two different companies, so it's not actually one company, Axiom and Collins. It's Axiom as well as Collins getting contracts. What NASA's done is it's continuing the transition from being a builder of things and not doing a very good job to being a customer that buys it from the private sector. So, for example, for more than a decade, for 14 years and more than $1 billion, NASA had tried to develop spacesuits for its Artemis program going back to the moon. And after a billion years, an inspector general report said, not only haven't you done it, but you'll never have them ready in time for your Artemis flights. And so NASA abandoned that attempt a few months ago, about a little more than that, and announced it was going to go to the private sector. And now this contract award to these two different companies is them following through. NASA has now hired Axiom, which is the company building a space station that'll attach to ISS and eventually fly free, as well as the company Collins Aerospace, which is like Dover, as I just mentioned, has been building suits for NASA up till now. And so these two companies will now have the opportunity to build suits for NASA's Artemis program. But what's different about past spacesuits that have been built for NASA is these companies, like everything else that NASA's now doing, they're going to own the suits. They will have those suits to use and to sell to others. They will not belong to NASA. And so that's a really good thing, because now NASA continues to transition away from being a company to being a, you know, a builder of things that doesn't get done very well and very cost effectively, to someone buying it from the private sector. And these companies now can compete to sell their suits to other companies if they want, John. It's very good news.
Ursa Major. Ursa Major is another company I'm unfamiliar with. It's a rocket engine company. It's got a new contract to do what?
Well, Ursa Major has, it's a new company that has been selling, actually, engines, small engines, to a variety of small-sat rocket companies as well as Stratolaunch. However, its engines are small. Well, it's now announced a new rocket engine it's going to offer for sale. They call it the Arroway, and it's a more powerful rocket. It's actually designed, and they say this in their press release, it is designed to replace the rocket engines that are no longer available from Russia. There are two specific rocket engines that Russia had made that were being used in American rockets, the RD-180, which was used in ULA's Atlas V, and then the RD-181, which is used in Northrop Grumman's Antares rocket. And the second is more important, because the Atlas V is being retired, so using the RD-180 isn't that big a deal anymore. But the Antares rocket, which is used to launch Northrop Grumman's Cygnus capsule, cargo capsule to ISS, it was using a Russian engine that's no longer available, and they only had enough engines for two more flights. So they desperately needed a replacement for this, and so Ursa Major's come to the forefront. They've got an engine. They're now offering to replace that engine. And what this reveals, and this engine won't be available till 25, but it shows the advantage of competition, and it also demonstrates the foolishness and the negative consequences of Russia's decision to invade the Ukraine. They blocked all future engine sales to the U.S. in response to the sanctions against it. But that didn't get the sanctions lifted. All it did was encourage American company like Ursa Major to come up with an alternative product to replace the Russians. So the Russians not only lose the business, but they probably will never get the business back. And Ursa Major is now going to get the business instead, John. It's really a good deal.
And this is a Russian-built rocket engine, not a Ukrainian-built rocket engine. Is that correct?
The Ursa Major engine is an American-built engine.
I mean the RD-180, the one that's...
Yeah, those are Russian-made engines. Those all Russian-made, nothing to do with the Ukraine. Though Antares has a problem because its first stage was made in the Ukraine. But there is indications that that company in the Ukraine is not being impacted so far by the war. So this could be a savior for Northrop Grumman's Antares.
Bob mentioned Roscosmos, and a stranger comes through the door. Oh, Bob, it's Dmitry Rogozin. What's he up to?
Rogozin has made an announcement which which involves Russia's attempt to restart its unmanned planetary program. And so they have they've had a program they call Luna Glob. Glob means global in Russian, having to do with the exploration of the moon with unmanned landers and rovers. And the first mission in this new project was called Luna 25. It was going to pick up what the Soviets finished with Luna 24 back in 76. And it was planned to go to the southern pole regions of the moon. And so Rogozin announced this past week that they have finally set a target date for the launch of Luna 25, and that's going to be by the end of September. And I did some digging, and I found a nice paper which described the landing area and provided a map, which I've got on behind the black, showing where this landing is. It's near Bogoslavsky Crater, which is about 550 miles from the South Pole. So it's not in the very South Pole, but it's in the Southern Pole regions. And they're going to try to land, and they're mainly doing this mission to test their engineering technology to see if they've learned, they can remember how to do this again. And so let's hope they get it done. There's been endless delays from this Russian program. This Lunar Glob mission was first proposed almost a quarter of a century ago, and it still hasn't launched, John. So let's keep our fingers crossed.
Private space in India, ANANTH, A-N-A-N-T-H. What's its mission, Bob?
They just opened up. It's a private commercial company in India, and they just opened up their first the first private satellite manufacturing facility in that country. And that is going to be building satellites for people or for itself. And it's got a facility now that's opened up in an aerospace commercial development park, and they can build up to 4 satellites at a time. Now, this is probably small sats, but nonetheless, what this does is it shifts the construction of satellites in India from ISRO, their space agency, to the private sector. It's part of that same transition, John.
India also has a space program that's been slow to get off the mark. Is it improving, Bob?
Well, I don't know if it's improving, but the press in India, there was an op-ed in the Indian press complaining about the fact that ISRO is just not launching anything. And the private sector here is an attempt to get around this, but the ISRO, after the Wuhan panic, has basically shut down, and it's done almost no launches for 2 years, and the few launches it's done, it's had failures. And so they're getting impatient, I think, in India. Well, get off the ground or go away is essentially the point.
A space city in Egypt. Bob, I think there were science fiction movies about the pyramids and travelers from afar. So this looks like a reuniting of a Hollywood concept, space travel and the Nile Valley.
Well, I wouldn't. It sounds that way, but Egypt is putting a gloss on it. It's not a space city. They basically opened up a aerospace commercial park for businesses to establish themselves, and it's also a place where their Egyptian space agency will start to do its own development. It's going to have an academy, a research center, a place to assemble satellites, and then a museum for tourism. And they're basically trying to encourage space development in Egypt. They're being pressed to do this because of the UAE's success in Arabia, John. That's essentially it.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. We're going to Mars next. I'm John Bash.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.